Hello, I'm Kathleen Dunn. You're listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio for this Wednesday, the 12th of November. These were some of the ideas that Foreign Policy Magazine gathered from many top thinkers in this country, suggestions of a dream team and ideas for the President-elect Barack Obama as he takes office in January. Prevent a terrorist group from detonating a nuclear weapon in an American city. Challenges will be adapting the U.S. foreign policy to a world in which Americans must relearn how to exert influence through coalitions and institutions. Understanding the limits of American power, this is kind of a theme that runs through the answers from the top thinkers. Extricate the United States from Iraq and Afghanistan and refocus U.S. resources and energy on rebuilding American society. Foreign Policy Magazine asked 10 top thinkers in the world to name the team that can best guide President Obama through the years ahead, and the answers are found in the November-December issue of Foreign Policy Magazine in an article titled The Dream Team. The online editor for Foreign Policy joins us the first hour to talk about the answers and to entertain your thoughts on this issue. Blake Hounshell is with us. Our phone number is 800-486-8655, 800-486-8655. If you'd like to send an email, that is talk@WPR.org, talk@WPR.org. Hello, Blake. Thanks very much for being with us. Hello, Blake. We're getting him in just a moment. Let me tell you, the second hour, a beautiful book on the ocean, only 5% of which has been explored. We'll talk about the ocean in a with a guest who has explored the ocean and is the co-author of a gorgeous book on the ocean. So that's coming up the second hour of our program. Tomorrow during this first hour, we'll be paying tribute to the life of Studs Terkel, and we'll have Calvin Trillin with us, who knew Studs very well, was a good friend of his. We'll be playing some of the interviews that we've done over the years with Studs Terkel, and that's coming up tomorrow. And then the second hour of the program, a really fascinating book on Abraham Lincoln, and it traces the time from November 6th of 1860 when he was elected president and goes to March 4 when he was inaugurated and all that happened during that period of time. It was just an extraordinary transition period. So we'll be looking at that with the author of a – hold on. Oh, I left the book on my desk in my office. We'll talk with the author of a book on Lincoln during that particular time in history, which is quite fascinating. So that's what is coming up today and also tomorrow here on the Ideas Network from 9 to 11. We ask you the question, who would be on your dream team? And what is it that you think are the major challenges? Would you agree with many of the world's top thinkers who are outlined in foreign policy that one of the major challenges will be to adapt U.S. foreign policy to a world in which Americans must relearn how to exert influence through coalitions and institutions? So we will be talking about that and looking at the people who are on the list in foreign policy. And we can't find our guest right now, so we'll try and find the guest in a moment. Well, let's just take your phone calls on this issue. Should we do that until we find the guest? Some of the ideas: prevented a terrorist group from detonating a nuclear weapon in an American city. This from a dean from Georgetown University. The editor of The Nation said that the United States needs to make the global economy work better for working men and women, and suggested Bill Bradley for Secretary of State. The former UN Undersecretary General for Communications and Public Information also said we need to restore America's standing in the eyes of the world and suggested Bill Clinton for Secretary of State. These people were looking at a number of positions, of course. They were looking at Secretary of State, Secretary of Defense, Secretary of the Treasury, Director of National Intelligence, and some of them, the National Security Advisor, and the Secretary for Energy and the Environment. Someone suggested, well, there are all kinds of people. Lawrence Korb for Secretary of Defense, James Galbraith for Secretary of Treasurer, So there were a number of different suggestions here. We welcome your phone calls. Who would you suggest for various positions? Help me out here, and let's just take some phone calls until we find our guest. Our number is 800-486-8655, 800-486-8655. And if you want to send an email, you can do that as well. The email address is talk@WPR.org, talk@WPR.org for you to join our conversation. And you can also go online to Foreign Affairs Magazine and look at all of the people who made various suggestions about what the positions are and who was recommended to fill various positions. We can also talk about Secretary of Defense. There's been a lot of talk about that. Word yesterday is that, and I don't know if this is true or not, but that the president-elect will be appointing Robert Gates to stay on at least for the first year as Secretary of Defense. Do you think that that is a good idea? And you can be as creative as you want. Come up with your own suggestions. We hope to find our guest. 800-486-8655 is the number. And there you go. You have filled the lines. Thanks very much. And we'll start with Bridget from Madison. Hi, Bridget.
Good morning.
Hi.
I just have a comment on your comment regarding America needing to work with coalitions and groups in order to restore its position as a leadership player in the international market. It's interesting. I have been reading very much upon this generation of college students and how in the previous generations your contributions were individual contributions. The grades that you would get on your paper, you had to earn them individually, and you were awarded your grade. But this younger group of students are required to do many more group projects, more team projects, and take a grade based upon group thinking.
That's
and
true.
I think that this is the group of people, quite frankly, that had a lot to do with getting President-elect Obama in position, given that I think it was 67% of the 18 to 34-year-old votes were for Obama. So I think that this is going to be a group that put President-elect Obama in position that is going to be very used to working in a group fashion, a coalition, consensus-building type environment. And I think that that will be their expectation of the president as well as the nation. And I just am interested in your thoughts on that.
Yeah, I think that's very interesting. I've noticed that with my son's school, that they do work in groups for chemistry lab, for English presentations, et cetera, and have done so for years and years. I certainly didn't grow up that way. You're right. It was very much an individual. And if things are going to get done, they have to be done by a community and with the involvement of a community as well. I'm wondering how the president-elect will tap into this formidable organization that he's put together all over the country to now ask Americans to do something. What are we going to do?
Right.
Yeah.
Interesting food for thought.
Yes, it is. Thanks very much for your call.
Thank you.
Let's go next to David from Madison. Hi, David.
Hi, Kathleen. How are you?
All right. How are you?
Good. I'd like to suggest Paul Krugman. I don't know if his name has been already thrown out as potential Secretary of Treasury, but you know, given that he won the Nobel Prize and he foresaw a lot of the events that would eventually lead to the bursting of the housing bubble and subsequent economic meltdown, I just think he would be a fine choice.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it seems to me as though this is going to be such an important position. Am I wrong about that?
Oh, sure. Seems like it's going to be critical, yeah.
Right. Right. He's an interesting choice. I don't know if he's been mentioned. Let me look through these papers and see if anybody mentioned him on the 10 thinkers of the world. No, I don't believe they did. It would be a very interesting choice. All right.
Yeah, and I can see he might be controversial in some schools, but I mean, I think hopefully the Nobel Prize will help people realize that he's universally respected by his peers.
You would think so. It's not a bad qualification.
Yeah.
Yeah, thanks very much for the call.
Thank you.
And we'll take one more call and then go to our guest, Laura from Milwaukee. Hi, Laura.
Hi, thanks Hi. For having me on.
Sure.
Have anyone ruled out Colin Powell? Did he say he did not want to do it? Or because to me, he's the first choice, Secretary of State.
Yeah, I don't know if he's been asked. I don't know if he would accept such a position. I don't think he said that he wouldn't do it. I haven't heard that news. Have you?
No, it's just that people aren't saying him as if that's already a done thing, done deal. Like he's not going to do it, or because I think they'd be talking about him on the news all the time.
Right. I know he's been mentioned by some people, but I don't know if he's been approached. So, but that would be your choice.
Yeah.
All right. Thanks very much for the call.
Thanks.
Yeah. And we have found our guest now. Your call's, of course, still pertinent. So who would you put on the dream team? Blake Houndschell is our guest now, online editor for Foreign Policy, and our phone number remaining the same, 800-486-8655. Hi, Blake.
Hi there. How are you?
Hi. Good. How are you?
I'm good.
Good.
Thanks.
So how did you decide who you were going to ask? It really is a group of people from various parts of the world. It's not who you would expect to ask the thinkers you would ask to come up with his answer, right?
Right. Well, we wanted a good mix of people. We didn't want just a kind of Washington insider
right.
set of people. Partly because we wanted, that outside perspective, and also because probably 90% of the people in town are on one team or the other. So at the time when we were doing this back in August, the campaign was still raging, and nobody would want to suggest someone for a job if they were thinking of getting one themselves.
Mm-hmm. It was interesting to me the theme that ran through many of these answers, and that was a real change in the way America presents herself to the rest of the world, this idea of coalition building, this idea of not taking over, of being the hot shot in the world, seemed to run through many of the answers.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's been a common theme of the commentary over the last few years, and it certainly came out in our work. But one of the things that's really interesting since the election is that a lot of that talk has kind of gone away. It's if Barack Obama, just by the mere fact of being elected and being very acclaimed around the world, has made all that go away. And I think people will find that that's not the case. There are some core fundamental differences between the way the United States and the rest of the world sees our problems.
Mm-hmm. When we were taking phone calls, a lot of people mentioned Secretary of Treasury, thinking that at least domestically and internationally, actually, it's going to be an extremely crucial decision and the first piece of business that this administration, well, they're already attending to it. Did you have any consensus about who that should be, or consensus as to whether or not that might be the number one pick here?
Well, I think since the article came out, the financial news has gotten worse and worse, and people have realized that Treasury Secretary is going to be, the key position and probably the first one, first cabinet position that President-elect Obama will name. But nobody suggested any of the names that are really under serious consideration right now, which is interesting. Larry Summers is one, the former Treasury Secretary under the Clinton administration. He's being talked about. By all accounts, a really brilliant guy. And Tim Geithner, who is the president of the New York Federal Reserve Bank. But people on our list suggested Warren Buffett, who you may know is a billionaire.
Right.
Michael Bloomberg, who's now got a looks like he's headed for a third term as mayor of New York.
Did anybody suggest, I thought this was an interesting suggestion, perhaps it would be too political, I don't know, Paul Krugman, who certainly has on his credential list winning the Nobel Prize, which ain't bad.
No, that's not bad at all. And I would love to watch that confirmation hearing, given everything that Krugman
right.
has said in his column about the Republican Party. I think that would be pretty fun to watch those fireworks.
Yeah, the appointment may not go through, you're saying?
Yeah, it seems like he's an extraordinarily well-respected economist, but as a political pundit, he's probably radioactive.
Right. So who was on the list? How did you select the people, and who are they?
The people that suggested the names?
Yes, thinkers.
Yeah, we wanted a good mix, and, some of the names are that sort of Washington foreign policy establishment. Bob Gallucci, who's the dean of the School of Foreign Service at Georgetown University. It doesn't get much more foreign policy establishment than that. Christoph Bertrand, who's kind of like a German intellectual and foreign policy thinker. Gideon Rochman, who is a columnist for the Financial Times. A very smart guy, very well connected, in European capitals and in Washington. Katrina Vandenhoevel, who's the editor of The Nation.
Mm-hmm.
Shashi Tharoor, he's a former undersecretary in the United Nations and a really smart guy. He's from India. Kishore Mahbubani, who is the dean of the Lee Kuan Yew School of Public Policy in Singapore. And he's been arguing for years that, the 21st century is going to be Asia's century.
Hmm.
So he's a very strong proponent of the idea that the United States is in decline, and I think some of his picks reflect that. Bob Baer, former CIA case officer, He was the guy who was sort of the inspiration for the movie Syriana.
Mm-hmm.
Grover Norquist, who is a low-tax advocate and lobbyist here in Washington, Republican in good standing, and he sort of balances out Katrina VandenHeuvel, who's more on the Democratic side of things, and Les Gelb, who was the former head of the Council on Foreign Relations and a longtime foreign policy insider.
I was interested in Katrina VandenHeuvel's suggestion for Secretary of State, Bill Bradley, who's a guy who has, I would think, a lot of respect on both sides of the aisle, certainly a good presence, a very sharp guy.
Oh, yeah, and, it doesn't hurt that he's a former basketball star. He's actually on the board of the Carnegie Endowment, which is where foreign policy is housed. Just a really extraordinarily well-respected guy in Washington, he's a former senator, but he's kind of an outsider. He doesn't play the normal kind of Washington games. And, so he would be definitely an outside-the-box pick, but interesting.
Right. Do you think this president-elect is going to have outside-the-box picks?
I think he'll have a mix. I mean, I think there will be some surprises. I mean, one of the things that's interesting about all the discussion about the transition and who he's picking, is the truth is nobody really knows anything. People
right.
who know stuff aren't talking,
right.
And people who are talking don't know anything. So people are making, it's kind of like a game of telephone, right? People are making, inferences and suppositions, and he has to do this and he should do this. But the bottom line is it's his choice, and nobody knows who he's going to pick. It's not like, he's got secret picks and he hasn't told anybody yet. It's probably more likely that there's a deliberative process going on, as he said in his first press conference, and he wants to make sure that he gets the right people for the job.
Mm-hmm. I'm interested in, what's his name, Kishore Mahbubani?
Mm-hmm.
Saying this is the Asian century. Who would his picks be?
He picked Strobe Talbott for Secretary of State. Strobe Talbott is former U.S. ambassador to Russia, and a head of the Brookings Institution here in D.C. He is a longtime, senior-level foreign policy guru, and he's very well-respected in Russia, Eurasia, foreign capitals. He also picked Sam Nunn as defense secretary.
Hmm.
Nunn, a former Georgia senator, very well-respected, especially on arms control issues. And people actually are still talking about Nunn as a real possibility. Strobe Talbott, I believe, had some trouble. He's a former journalist, and he had some trouble getting confirmed in the Clinton administration over his stances on, or some comments he'd made about Israel.
Mm-hmm.
Very sensitive topic.
How many people mentioned Bill Clinton?
We did get one person mentioning Bill Clinton as a possible. What did we say? Secretary of State. Yeah, Shashi Tharoor said that he would love to see, Bubba for Secretary of State. I would love to watch those cabinet meetings where Barack Obama gives Bill Clinton some instructions.
Right.
That would be pretty fun. It seems like Clinton is having a great time running his own foundation in New York there. It's probably a fantasy pick, but it would certainly be interesting, fascinating to watch. Some people have talked about Clinton as a possible UN Secretary General down the road, which would be unprecedented to have an American in that job, but really interesting.
We're going to welcome more phone calls, and here's our number. It's 800-486-8655. Blake Hounshell is our guest, online editor for Foreign Policy, and their November-December issue has invited 10 top thinkers in the world to help President-elect Barack Obama select cabinet positions, and the answers are found in the November-December issue. What would you suggest? Our phone number, 800-486-8655, or our email is talk@WPR.org, talk@WPR.org. I'm Kathleen Dunn. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. The second hour of our program today, we'll be talking about the ocean. Blake Hounshell is our guest now, and let's go back to phone calls to Tony from Juneau next. Hi, Tony.
Hi, I have a couple suggestions. I'll be quick. David L. Goodstein, or Stein, I'm not even sure how you say it, he's the best unbiased source I've ever heard on energy, fossil fuels or renewable sources. He's from the California Institute of Technology. Very brilliant man. My next one, Ralph Nader. That guy needs and wants to help the American people more than anyone I know. He should be a saint, really. He could help in so many ways. I believe Ralph Nader is would be one of the best, or one of the last ways he can help the American people would be to put him with Obama.
Okay, thanks for very much for the call, Blake.
Well, it would be pretty unusual for a guy who ran against Obama and has taken a lot of hits in the last few years from Democrats, especially. For saying that Democrats and Republicans are indistinguishable. So I'd be pretty shocked if that was something that President-elect Obama was thinking about. David Goodstein's an interesting idea. Certainly a lot of the people that we talked to were very keen on seeing some progress on energy and environmental issues. I think there's an enormous reservoir of kind of a longing for, if not energy independence, then reducing U.S. Use of oil, and especially oil from places like Saudi Arabia, Russia, Venezuela, that aren't necessarily very friendly to the United States. One of the guys on our list, Bob Baer, the former CIA case officer, he actually suggested Buckminster Fuller, who's long dead.
Not around, yeah.
Yeah, but the idea was he wanted to see some kind of visionary, and maybe David Goodstein is the guy. That would be very interesting.
Mm-hmm. He also made an interesting comment, didn't he, Baer did, that most of the people he talks to at the CIA are not sure if bin Laden is dead or alive.
Yeah, there's an ongoing kind of debate in the media, and every once in a while a story breaks suggesting that bin Laden, you know, he's got some kidney problems, and supposedly he needs dialysis every once in a while. So every once in a while there's a story saying bin Laden has died of kidney failure, and then there's another story saying, no, actually, he's alive, and Al-Qaeda insists that he's alive, and then he pops up with another video. But there hasn't been a video in a while, and, there was some talk during the election about whether he would pop up and make some sort of message, and it didn't happen.
Mm-hmm. Did anybody suggest Sebelius from Kansas for energy?
No. Her name didn't come up in our list, but she's definitely, was an early Barack Obama advocate, and, he probably, there's probably some loyalty there. That would be an interesting pick.
I would think so. Hillary Clinton.
Someone, one of our people suggested Hillary Clinton actually for Treasury Secretary, which is something that people aren't talking about. I've heard talk of her as a potential Secretary of State, but the case for Hillary Clinton as Treasury Secretary would be that she's not of Wall Street and that she understands the economic needs of ordinary Americans and would sort of shift the focus of economic policy towards sort of pocketbook issues rather than what Wall Street wants.
Hmm. Would President-elect Obama want to mess around with a Senate makeup, though?
Illinois, I believe, has a New York has a Democratic governor, so it wouldn't be a problem to lose a Democrat to the administration if the governor could appoint another Democrat to replace Hillary Clinton. The risk would be if you pick someone who's in a state with a Republican governor, then you lose a Senate seat.
Mm-hmm. And someone, facetiously, I'm sure, I don't want to be on this very long or talk about her a whole lot this morning, but somebody did suggest Sarah Palin for guess what appointment?
Right, yeah, ambassador to Russia. Right. That was Gideon Rockman. She can see Russia from Alaska.
Thanks very much for the call, Tony. Let's go to Terry from Madison. Hi, Terry.
Hi. I have, I'm wondering about the list, the complexion of the list. So far, I've heard all older white guys mentioned, and Hillary Clinton in passing. So I'm wondering about that. And then I also have a couple of suggestions. I haven't heard Bill Richardson mentioned, and he ought to be Secretary of State. I think Hillary Clinton would make an excellent Secretary of Health and Social Services.
Mm.
Robert Reich for Treasury. Ralph Nader for energy. So those are my suggestions and comments.
Okay. Thanks very much for the call. Are they older white guys?
Not all of them. There are a couple names that I haven't mentioned. Muhammad Al-Aryan, who's of Arab descent. He's the CEO of PIMCO, one of the largest bond companies in the world. He's been named as a possible Treasury Secretary. He's a brilliant guy. He used to run the endowment at Harvard University. Used to be at the IMF and World Bank. So he's not your standard white face. Fareed Zakaria is the editor of Newsweek International. Kishore Mahbubani suggested him for National Security Advisor in the White House. So it's not just all the usual white suspects.
Mm-hmm. There will be a substantial number of appointments. Do you have any idea how many will be made when you look at Undersecretary of State and Secretary of State and the Undersecretary of State? We're talking about a lot of people entering this new administration, aren't we?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I think there are several thousand political appointments. For really obscure posts that no one's ever heard of, deputy under assistant secretary of something or other in the Interior Department. And one thing that's really interesting that the Obama transition team has done is they've actually put out a form on their website where you can apply for one of these political jobs. You can apply for career jobs on government websites, but you can actually apply for appointed positions on the Obama transition website. It's change.gov.
Change.gov.
Yep.
Do you know how many people have applied?
I imagine it's a lot, given the state of the economy especially. So I pity the people who are on the other end trying to sort through all these applications and figure out, who's the best qualified person to run, some or other bureau at the Interior Department or what
right.
have you.
Here's an email suggestion. Terry, thank you for your call. John from Milwaukee. Is there any talk of John McCain in Obama's cabinet? His obsession with earmarks and background in the military would be great for Secretary of Defense. And didn't he also say he would guarantee capturing Osama bin Laden?
I think, as far as I know, McCain and Obama have had one conversation, and that was when McCain conceded on election night. And, it sounds from the noises they're making that they're going to have a very conciliatory working relationship. But I think McCain is happy to be in the Senate, and Obama, I think, is going to look for him to be an ally there.
Mm-hmm. One of the people from Georgetown University suggested that the first challenge, and you hear this every now and then, but not a lot, is to prevent a terrorist group from detonating a nuclear weapon in an American city. Was this something that was mentioned by many of your thinkers, and would you agree that this is a very large challenge for the new administration?
Well, I've heard, interestingly, that the intelligence community is very concerned about this. I'm hearing numbers of something like they think there's a 50% chance of a nuclear detonation in the next 5 years or something. And, the truth is, where does that number come from? That's something that you can't really put a number on. But serious people are concerned about this. Dean Gallucci, the Georgetown dean, is right to point out that this is, the number one thing that President Obama has to prevent.
We're welcoming phone calls for Blake. Our lines are open now. We'd love to hear your suggestions of who you would put as a dream team cabinet for the new White House, the November-December issue of Foreign Policy Magazine. Asked 10 great thinkers in the world to come up with a dream team, and their answers are found in the current issue of Foreign Policy, and we thought we would just ask you the same question. The online editor for Foreign Policy is our guest this hour, and our number is 800-486-8655, 800-486-8655. I found him to be an interesting interview and gentleman, the author and former CIA case officer assigned to the Middle East, Robert Baer. What were some of his suggestions?
Bob Baer, he is very keen. He's written a book on Iran, and he's very worried about Iran, and he's keen to see the United States get the policy right. So he was very gratified to see Secretary Gates has basically taken a war or airstrikes on Iran off the table. So he wanted Gates to come back. mainly for that reason. He also suggested John Abizade, who is the former commander of CENTCOM, which is where David Petraeus is now, as a director of national intelligence, who oversees the intelligence community. And that would be an interesting pick, a military guy who is definitely familiar with working with intelligence very closely and kind of has a similar moderate outlook on the world, was also opposed to U.S. military action against Iran, which is a big issue for Bob Baer.
And what are you hearing from your foreign policy sources? This made news a little bit today. It's on the wires a wee bit today, and people are writing about it, that indications are, I don't even know who's saying this, that Obama is considering keeping Gates on for at least another year.
Yeah, and you know, it looks like there was a big story yesterday in the Wall Street Journal about this, and the story suggested that Gates has indicated that he wants the job, he wants to stay, which is new because Bob Gates is known for having a clock in his office that's counting down the days till his time is up.
Oh, is
Secretary
he?
Of Defense.
Huh.
But maybe that's changing. You know, maybe he he's happy to stay. It's an interesting story because he was CIA director under the first Bush, George H.W. Bush, and he wanted to stay at that time, and the Democrats and instead went with James Woolsey, who turned out to be someone who's been very critical of the Democrats ever since.
Let's go to Louise next from Eagle. Hi, Louise.
Hi.
Hi.
President-elect Obama has talked about being bipartisan in this presidency, and I'm thinking, what about Mitt Romney help us with our financial woes? And I'll take my answer off the air. Thank you.
Thanks, Louise.
Well, Mitt Romney would be definitely one of those out-of-the-box picks. Romney, you know, he's definitely known as someone who is a kind of a turnaround artist, right? He was involved with the Olympics in Salt Lake City and sort of saving those from disaster. He would be interesting. I don't expect it. You know, the rumor is that he wants to run again for the Republican nomination in 2012. So that would be probably more where his focus is right now.
Mm. We'll be able to tell somewhat today and after he appears at the, isn't he appearing at the Republican Governor's Conference?
I hadn't heard that. This is the event in Florida.
Right.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, he's a former governor, so I don't know if he would be invited or not. But
yeah. I share your perception of this, that he is running again, and these days you have to start running pretty early.
Exactly.
Right. Matt is next from Madison. Hi, Matt.
Hello.
Hello. Go
Hi,
right
Matt.
Ahead.
Hello.
We're right here, Matt.
Okay.
Go right ahead. You're on the air.
Okay. Sorry.
It's okay.
I have a lot of friends who work in the academic field, and mainly in science, and I know it took President Bush quite a long time to appoint a Secretary of Science or the person who's in charge of, you know, the National Science Foundation and those types of organizations that fund a lot of research. And I'm wondering if we're going to see a shift in the Obama administration toward, you know, putting more funding toward American research institutions and things like that, because I know under the Bush administration, a lot of scientists are having trouble funding research and things like that. And I think that it's something that could, you know, put us back to the forefront in the intellectual realms and also create new jobs if we put the money into research, you know, that scientists, you know, research is always the first step toward new technologies that can transition into, you know, industrial applications. So I'm just wondering if there was any talk of, you know, a science advisor or a science administrator in the Obama campaign at all.
That's a wonderful question. I haven't really seen much talk about, you know, usually there's a White House science advisor and then there's a separate position as the head of the National Science Foundation. I haven't seen any talk about that. I imagine, you know, President-elect Obama is pretty interested in that area, but I also worry that he's got a lot of billions and billions of dollars that are going to go to various bailouts. Now they're talking about bailing out General Motors and, you know, Ford. So is there going to be any money left over to increase the budget for science? I hope so, but I'm not optimistic.
Hmm. Anything else, Matt?
No, thank you.
All right. Thanks so much for the call. Roz is next from Chippewa Falls. Hi, Roz.
Hi.
Hi.
I have a recommendation for the Secretary of Education. Reg Weaver just recently ended his term as NEA president. He's also vice president of the International Teachers Organization. He really has kids at heart. He comes from Illinois, and I think he'd be a great choice. And I also concur with the lady that suggested Robert Reich. I think he's a very smart man. And that's my comment.
All right. Thanks very much for the call.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
That's not someone I'm familiar with, but that's definitely going to be a priority. I think he's talked a lot about education. A couple names that I've heard batted around are Michelle Rhee, who's the superintendent of the schools here in Washington, who's been a reformist. And actually, an outside the box pick that some people are talking about is actually Colin Powell for Secretary of Education.
How does that fit?
Well, it's a personal interest of his. And I think Al Hunt, who's a columnist for Bloomberg, a very well-connected guy, was the first one who came up with the idea, in the press at least. I don't know how real that is, but that would be very interesting. Maybe add some military discipline to the Department of Education.
And tell me a little more about Michelle Reed.
She's a South Korean, I believe, South Korean American. And she's come into the D.C. schools and really shaken things up. It's not really my area of expertise, so I can't say too much about the specifics of what she's done. But the D.C. schools are in pretty bad shape, so there's a lot of work to be done. So maybe she actually just would appreciate more time working on that before getting kicked upstairs to Secretary of Education. You know, the Education Department, Department of Education, can only do so much. In some ways, being a superintendent of a school district, you might be able to have more of a hands-on impact.
Thanks, Roz, for your call. We go next to Anne from Oshkosh. Hi, Anne.
Good morning. I would like to see Dennis Kucinich as Secretary of Defense.
Representative Kucinich has actually suggested for many years that there be in addition to the Department of Defense, there'd be a Department of Peace. So he would be someone who would be a real peacemaker and promoting good relations with the rest of the world. I don't foresee him as a Secretary of Defense, but he would be definitely an outside the box pick.
Thanks, Ann, for your call. Gene from Eagle River. Hi. John from Eagle River. Hi.
I'm actually calling from Mexico. I'm thinking that Juan Cole, who's the professor from the University of Michigan and such an expert on the Middle East, would be good in some position. Bill Moyers would be wonderful in any position. And that he also ought to find somebody for the war on drugs, the new drug czar, who actually has done some studies about decriminalizing all of the drug war aspects that we've been fighting with and losing for years.
That's actually a really important issue that hasn't been talked about very much during the campaign is the drug war, and you're in Mexico, so you know probably very well that Mexico has become kind of ground zero for the drug war now. A lot of violence. I think about more than 4,000 people have been killed there in drug-related violence over the last 2 years. So getting someone in there who is at a high level going to rethink the way the United States handles drug policy would be really welcome. Obama has said some things in the past that indicated he might be open to some kind of creative rethinking of the war on drugs. I think he backed off that during the campaign, but it suggested maybe he's open to some change there.
Thank you, John, so much for calling. And from Mexico, that's nice. Let's pause for a moment and return. We're talking about the Dream Team Cabinet for the new White House, suggestions from top thinkers in the world in the November-December issue of Foreign Policy Magazine, and the online editor for that magazine is joining us this hour. I'm Kathleen Dunn, 800-486-8655. Our lines have been crowded, but there are openings right now, so give us a call on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. The next hour of the program, we talk about the ocean. Let's go to Roger next from Milwaukee. Hello, Roger.
Good morning. Thank you for taking my call. My question really isn't directly about the cabinet, but can the cabinet... One thing I find very frustrating is the GAO finds a lot of inconsistencies when they're doing their investigations into budgets and misuse of proper funds and things like that, military-wise, and a whole array of problems. And yet whenever they get to start investigating, they have no actual authority to really go into anything because they have no power at all. And is there any possibility that they will, the cabinet or a section will give the GAO some real investigative power to really get to the bottom of gross inconsistencies?
That's an excellent question. It's funny, the GAO has actually put out its own report, which is kind of unusual, of making suggestions for what the new administration should do to reform the government and what its priorities should be. So I imagine the GAO itself has some ideas of its own in that material. I haven't looked through it carefully. One thing that'll be interesting to watch is what happens in Congress. Henry Waxman, who's the chairman of the Oversight and Government Reform Committee, has been pretty brutal on the Republicans. And now that there's going to be a Democratic administration, he wants off that committee, and he wants to be involved in environment and public works.
Hmm.
Who's going to take over that committee, and who's going to be really, working with places like the GAO to look into problems, abuses, inefficiencies, that sort of thing.
Thanks, Roger, for your call. Tony is next from Green Bay. Hello.
Hi. I'm just calling to put my bid in as far as who I'd appoint. This is for the ATF director or possibly as an attorney general. I would think Michael Bednarik would be an excellent choice. I'll take my comments off here.
Okay. Thanks very much for the call.
That's sort of outside my comfort zone of expertise, so I'll defer to the caller on that one.
Okay, Michael Bednarik, Attorney General. Thanks very much for the call. And I don't think too many people took on that position of Attorney General, did they, in your dream team?
No, we specifically wanted to make it just about foreign policy.
Mm-hmm.
Although the Attorney General does have a role in some of the legal issues involved. We all remember well the scandals in the Bush administration over detainee policies. So some of the names out there for Attorney General are people like Jamie Gorelick, who is on the 9/11 Commission. She's a Washington lawyer. It will be interesting to see who he picks. Usually the Attorney General is someone who's very close to the president because it's a very sensitive position. One name I've seen is Janet Napolitano.
Yes.
Chris Dodd is another one, the senator from Connecticut. And Deval Patrick is a name that's being thrown out there. He's the governor of Massachusetts.
Mm-hmm. I was interested in the response from the executive vice president of the Council for the U.S. in Italy, who said that the new president will need advisors who understand that strengthening the rule of law rather than spreading democracy should be the guiding principle of U.S. foreign policy.
Yeah, this is something of an academic debate, but it's an important one. One of the things that I think went wrong with the Bush administration's so-called freedom agenda was that they were promoting elections, and then in some cases, like in Egypt and in the Palestinian territories, when the results weren't favorable, then they said, well, actually, we're not going to work with you guys. I was in Egypt during the elections, and the Muslim Brotherhood picked up nearly 100 seats in the parliament. And the Muslim Brotherhood is seen by many as extremist. And so when that happened, I think the Bush administration really pulled back on promoting democracy. And I think what Mr. Merlini is suggesting, that maybe it's better, rather than focusing on elections, to work on strengthening judicial systems and other institutions of the government so that you don't have this kind of all-or-nothing, high-stakes game with elections. And then you get to a place where a few years down the road, the country's in better shape and you might get a more moderate government elected.
We go to Kasser now from West Bend. Hi.
Yes. Being a Meccan Muslim with Muslim population to be anywhere between 6 to 7 million Muslims in U.S., perhaps the fourth largest minority, don't you and overwhelmingly supporting Obama with, during this election, because we 76% of us voted for President Bush in the first time, and we learned our lesson, and we ended up putting a crusader in the White House. Do you think that it's time that Mr. Obama should recognize that there should be a Muslim voice and one of the high-level cabinet positions? I think out of 6 and 7 million, there ought to be at least one qualified Muslim intellectual who could represent the Muslims of this country. And I think a lot of times in these cabinet meetings, a lot of things have been done and decided that if there was, I believe there was a Muslim sitting there, he things would have been a little bit different. They would have been done in a different, the route that Mr. Bush and his cabinet took would have been a little bit different and more humane and civilized. Do you think that it is time that this should be recognized and there should be somebody there who represents the Muslim community?
Blake.
Well, I'm very interested to see what he does with that, because Valerie Jarrett, who's one of his transition team leaders, has said that they're very interested in having a diverse government, a diverse cabinet. What that means in practice, I don't know. I don't think that they're going to go for the, they're going to look at the demographics and say we need to appoint so many Latinos and so many Muslims and so on. It would definitely, I think, add some important balance and some perspective to have high-level Muslims in the administration. Someone that was mentioned, I think I said before, is Fareed Zakaria, the editor of Newsweek International, who is a Muslim of Indian descent. So that would be interesting. Someone who can at least bring some firm understanding of the both Muslims in the United States, and maybe provide a bridge to the Muslim world and bring some of the issues that are important to Muslims to the administration.
Yeah, interesting suggestion. Thank you, Kasser, for your call. We go next to Tom. It's Jim from West Salem. Hi, Jim.
Hi, good morning. My dream team, Defense Gates, State Hagel, Energy Richardson, Education Powell, Treasurer Summers, Attorney General Governor Doyle, and UN, a woman by the name of Rice.
She was suggested by someone. Well, you've thought about this.
That's
what do you think, Blake?
That's a pretty good lineup. That's like a Pro Bowl team. That's great. Susan Rice, I think is the caller is referring to, who is actually leading the foreign policy side of the transition team. Under President-elect Obama. She was, I think, Assistant Secretary for African Affairs in the State Department under the Clinton administration. She's been at the Brookings Institution since. She's very, sharp mind, hard-charging, she's been described as, and someone who would represent U.S. interests and priorities at the United Nations, which is something that, tends to get lost in a place like that.
Thank you so much for your long list, Jim. Let's go to Tom from Whitewater next. Hi, Tom.
Yeah, I don't have a long list. I just have one person that I was so impressed with several months ago when I got to hear him speak, and then I lucked out and had a conversation. Scott Ritter has extensive experience in the Middle East. He was a chief weapons inspector in Iraq in the late 90s, and he has some real insights about the Middle East and about war. He says he's not anti-war. He is for war prevention. I'd love to see a voice like that in either the State Department or the Department of Defense. That's all I have to offer.
Thank you, Tom. Thanks for the call.
Yeah, Scott Ritter is an interesting story because he was one of the people who said before the Iraq War that we weren't going to find any weapons there. And very few people listened to him at the time. He was kind of a lone voice in the wilderness. And as I recall, there was some controversy about some personal information, some damaging information that was leaked to the press about him, for whether that was sort of retaliation or what. I don't know. And he's someone who's said a lot of things and really put his neck on the line. I'd be surprised if you know he's not considered too outspoken to work in an administration. But I definitely appreciate having his voice out there and having someone balance a lot of the stuff that gets put out in official channels.
Mm-hmm. Thank you so much for your call, Tom. And Blake, thank you for being with us.
Thanks for having me.
Blake Hounshell, online editor for Foreign Policy. You can go online and get the complete list of the Dream Team from Top Thinkers in the World of the magazine selected. Who would those people select for particularly important foreign policy positions and cabinet positions? And we thank him for being with us. And thanks for all of your informed calls. You've obviously thought about this quite a bit, which is great. Tomorrow during this time period, we're going to pay tribute to the long life and fascinating life of Studs Terkel. We had the great pleasure of speaking with him several times over the past few years. Calvin Trillin will join us for part of the program, who was a good friend of Studs, writer for The New Yorker and author. And we'll hear some of those interviews. He was a wise, wonderful man. So we're happy to do that tomorrow during the 9 o'clock hour. I'm Kathleen Dunn on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.